This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Go for it. Call the fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Baseball on the table, Dave. You got to talk a little baseball. So, I don't understand. Were the Mets even involved in Jose Abreu? Like, were they even connected at all? Mm. I didn't see it. So, I mean, I try to track that stuff pretty well. I didn't see any real connection between the Mets and Jose Abreu. I'd like to know why. So, here's what I think everybody, and I hope the Yanks and the Mets view it this way. I have more confidence that the Mets view it this way than the Yankees. But the Yanks and the Mets, and not even Epler and Cashman, ownership needs to understand. Oh, my lady. The world champion just went out and got a guy with 304 last year who has a career OPS of 860.
Mm-hmm.
And they add him to the middle of that lineup, not even like third or fourth, more like fifth or sixth. And we're worried about just retaining Judge and DeGrom? No, that's not going to work. What you need to do is make sure you retain Judge and DeGrom. Hey, they better go out and get some players this offseason here, Teak.
It's
Yanks
been,
and Mets.
It's look, there's priorities that they obviously have. For the Yankees, it's Aaron Judge, and they already re-signed Rizzo. So there's you know that they're focused on getting guys. But it's almost like both the Mets and the Yankees are slow playing guys that are outside of their existing orb. Right, there's these other guys that are there, but they're not even thinking about them yet. Maybe they are, but we haven't seen anything. Like, the hot stove is so, like, chilly right now in New York. I mean, the only one that we're really talking about is Aaron Judge, but there needs to be a lot more movement elsewhere, but it's just not happening right now.
No, listen, Jose Abreu, to me, I can see why the Yankees might not have gone that route. Because Stanton obviously has to DH a lot because of the leg issues, and you have Rizzo back, which is a good thing. You tell me Jose Abreu would have been awesome for the Mets? I mean, it's not like it's a five-year deal that's exorbitant. It's 3 years at $20 million a pop. And here's the thing about Jose Abreu. He's obviously productive. He's durable. And I knew he was durable. I didn't know he was this durable. I went back and I looked it up. So he is 35, right? Not young. Because he came from Cuba, I think he was 27.
Yeah, and he's almost 36.
He was 27 when he won the Rookie of the Year. Kind of like an Ichiro path. Came over late from Japan. I think the same age, actually. 27. But in 2019, he played 159 out of 162 games. In 2020, he played 60 out of 60. Pandemic. 2021, 152 out of 162. And then last year, 157 out of 162. He's a right hand. Now, he's not going to hit you 40 home runs. So he's never really been that guy. But who would you rather have coming up? Yeah, I mean, Cat is fine. I'm not here to kick dirt on him. He's decent. Vogelback. Really?
Yeah.
How did the Mets... did your boy make a call?
No, I keep on hearing they're planning on being like inside there for the DH role. They're looking inside internally.
Meaning Beatty wins it or Alvarez wins it. Yep, no, I got... Or Bientos or Vogelback.
Right.
It's not good enough.
But here's the thing is, Jose Abreu at 36 years old, I'm not dying on that. I'm not hurt that they didn't make that call or they didn't, like, oh my, it would have been a nice addition, but that's not.
Who would you have rather had getting at bats against the Padres or in the Braves series or in any of those series that derailed the season?
BT,
Jose Abreu.
Last year he wasn't all that great.
He hit 304.
He wasn't all that great. Vogelback sucks. I'm not telling you Vogelback is great, but I'm not sitting here saying I needed to go and trade an arm and a leg for Jose Abreu last year. Nor do I feel like Jose Abreu is the answer. So you're fine. You're right. We should check it out. But I don't need to get Jose Abreu. Jose Abreu is not going to make or break the Mets this year. I'm sorry. If that's the case,
now, make or break, I'm not even pushing it there either. But the guy had 40 doubles last year, had an OPS of 830, hit 304.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. But I wasn't going to pay for it. I wasn't going to pay for him in the offseason.
But I thought the whole thing was that, and this is kind of what I keep getting back to. Like,
but there haven't been.
He's 36 years old.
Not
though.
Much for Cohen.
He's 36 years old. You have to pay a lot of people. Listen, you're right. I don't mind overspending on some top bill players.
Yeah.
Jose Abreu is not a top bill player.
He's a tier two player. I agree with that.
Right. So,
and the guys
let him go to
a
tier team.
All right, fair enough. I mean, listen, if you don't want him, that's fine. I'm just telling you from my perspective, if Jose Abreu was on the Mets are better.
Yeah.
I don't really have much to debate there.
I think the point is that
they're better.
The team that just won the World Series is making themselves better.
That's the ultimate point. Yeah. Yes, that is the ultimate point.
That's fair. That is 100% fair. Everyone should be upset that the Astros has got Jose Abreu.
I am.
There's not a ton of other movement for team like going to new teams position player wise. There's been a couple starting pitchers and relief pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. Like Carlos Santana, that's not, you know, he's 37. You know,
it's been around a while.
It's been around a while. There's not really a lot of position players other than Melee, but there's just not a lot of.
No, we're waiting on Judge, waiting on Turner, waiting on Correa, working on obviously some pitchers there, of course. But I don't know. I don't go to bed at night thinking that the Yanks and the Mets are possessed to go out and get some of these big-time additions. I know the Mets want to keep DeGrom. And by the way, it looks like it's kind of going in the other direction now where, in a good way, if you want DeGrom back with the Mets, it seems like that's gaining some traction, which is good. We will certainly want to see DeGrom here. He's amazing. Even as a Yankee fan, I want to flip on SNY and watch him pitch. He's one of the best I've ever seen. It's good for us. Same with Judge. If you're a Met guy, you know, and the Mets aren't playing, you flip on, you want to see Judge. I mean, that's what being a baseball fan's all about. But where are the other pieces coming from? Now, I'm not saying that they're not. I think it might be the trade market. And if you want to trade Gleyber Torres, go for it. I'm all for it. I've laid this out already. You know, I also think that, I know a lot of you had an issue with this, IKF for $6 million, I was oddly okay with it because it's a little bit of an insurance policy. I'm not saying it's the best insurance policy, but if these kids aren't ready in spring, like if Peraza hits 160 and Volpe is just clearly not ready, needs some more at-bats in AAA, you let IKF play and bounce him around for a little bit here and there, right? Then maybe you can trade Torres during the spring. Maybe you can. I think there's, and then I think if Peraza and or Volpe are ready, then maybe you could trade IKF. And for $6 million and a good locker room guy, somebody will take him.
No, of course they will. Because he's not a bad player. He's just not a lifter.
Came with Donaldson, leave with Donaldson. Bring him with you. Donaldson. He's still here? Ugh. Hicks still here?
That's the worst contract in baseball right now is Josh Donaldson. It's atrocious.
Yeah,
you got to find a way to eat
at
that.
At least it's only one more year.
Is it the worst?
You can eat it.
Wait, that's a strong statement. It's only one more year to go.
I mean, if it was one more year, I would agree with you.
This is just one year.
Well, hold on. Swallow it.
You could swallow it, which they won't, which is why it's terrible. Like Cano, last year the Mets were like, this is awful. We're going to eat the money.
What was it, $24 million? What did they eat with Cano?
They ended up beating a little bit under 20, I think it was.
A little bit under 20.
Because I think Seattle still like was paying $5 million.
Got
we got lucky.
Got it. I don't know which way this thing's going. I really don't. I know which way I hope it goes. But, you know, I think in all of our minds, we're hoping Trey Turner comes under the Christmas. Obviously, Judge and DeGrom. But Turner or Verlander, I don't know.
I just fight back on the Stanton move? You're killing Stanton again. The guy's the only guy producing in the playoffs.
Well, I'm not killing him.
No, Tiki did.
Well, then get on Tiki.
I am.
What are you looking at me for?
I'm looking at Tiki. He's looking at
hey,
the
looking
screen
at
again.
Him.
He's looking
look
at the screen
at
right
him.
Now.
Yeah. Come on, address him. Let's
Tiki.
Go.
What? The only guy that's performing in the playoffs consistently for the Yankees is Giancarlo Stanton.
What am I killing Stanton? I don't know.
You said it's the worst contract in baseball.
No, you said Donaldson.
I said that, actually.
It is.
No, we're talking Donaldson.
Right, Donaldson's the worst contract in baseball right now this year.
So
Donaldson.
Why are we talking? Why are we talking?
Well,
so,
because it was me.
Oh, was you?
Yeah,
so it was you.
Okay,
let's go.
No, listen, I like Stanton. It's not even so much about the money; it's about the logjam.
I mean, historic
that his presence
like, over the history. Yes, it
well,
is.
You know what I mean. Like
because
you can't
you
do
no
this,
flexibility.
You can't do that,
zero
he's here.
Flexibility with Stanton.
He's got.
I understand. He can flex those muscles, baby.
But I understand what you're talking about. He's his consistency in the postseason, theoretically, right? But there's zero flexibility with his zero.
Listen, I'm not here to knock. I'm not about Giancarlo Stanton slander. I respect the guy. You know, he's a good Yankee.
Agreed.
He's a good ball player. But that really, in a lot of ways, is a microcosm of what's kind of wrong with the Yankees. They're just poorly constructed. And will they eat it to get out of it? No, he's got a no trade anyway. So I'm not even going to really waste a whole lot of time on the air about trading Stanton, though I'm certainly amenable to it. I just, I don't know. If you ask me my real instincts about the Yanks and Mets, I think it's a little underwhelming going into the season. And I'll take it a step further. Not that they're not going to be prepared to win and be in the mix for wild cards, et cetera. I don't think that this is some flip the table over, look at me, I'm spending gazillions because I want to win a championship offseason for either team. I'll tell you this too, Huff and Teak, obviously, when we're at Yankee Stadium, Lord willing, on opening day, right, I think you're going to hear Josh Donaldson introduced. I think you're going to hear Aaron Hicks introduced. You're going to hear me boo when that happens. But I don't think those guys are gone.
I don't think so either.
That's going to drive me batty.
Hey, you're right. Hicks is actually worse than Donaldson.
It's going to drive me nuts. All right, so I want to at least get that in. You know, and Hoff is the Mets guy. I think you're sleeping on the, I mean, it's not going to happen now. It's too late. I thought Jose Abreu would have been perfect for the Mets. But bottom line, as Tiki pointed out, the Astros got him, middle of the order, World Series champion, going forward even more. And what are our teams going to do? We'll see. But so far, they haven't done a whole lot. All right, let's get back to the calls, Tiki. 877-337-6666. So the Jets quarterback situation on the table, some hot stove. Bill is in Monmouth County. What up, Billy?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, fellas. I enjoy the show.
Appreciate you, Bill.
Quick question. I'm a huge Jet fan, and I think Robert Saleh is going to do a great job, or is doing a great job. My question is, do you think if Belichick or Parcells was the coach when Wilson came on board, you would have seen some of the behavioral difficulties he's presented with currently, and both on the field and off the field?
No, because they don't play that game. Like, it's all about it's all about the team for those guys. You know, I think it's always been said, and I don't know if we say it enough, one of the great things that made Bill Belichick such a great coach is that he managed personalities of stars. And if you got too big, he's like, all right, we're gonna trade you middle of the season. See ya. Like, even before you got trades, he was trading guys in the middle of seasons because he didn't want these guys asking for contracts and, you know, just taking away from the team. Now, I'm not saying Zach is doing that at all, but you just knew you couldn't get out of line with Bill Belichick because his culture was so solid and so, I don't know, it was beyond reproach for so many years that the team came first. Didn't matter who you were, yep. Even if you were a superstar.
That's right.
Like Tom Brady. He made $25 million. He never felt in position to ask for a super raise, and he never did. And it's why they were able to keep financial flexibility and always stay relevant. Now, it obviously helped because the division stunk for so many years, but still.
Yep, 20 years.
But still, he gets to the postseason and they take care of business.
That's right. You get a bye, you win one game at home, you're in the Super Bowl, the AFC Championship. I mean, here's the thing, like, players weren't, all right, so take Boomer, all right, and obviously you, but from a quarterback spot. Boomer, I was told a Boomer off the air the other day. You know, his only scholarship offer, I didn't know this, we were just BSing down the hall. His only scholarship offer was to Maryland. And the way he got it was amazing. The Maryland coach came to see another player.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And, like, Boomer was actually playing basketball, right? And, like, he dropped 30, shut down this kid. Both of them wound up going to Maryland. But, like, Boomer wasn't really on that great player out east, but not on that radar.
The football coach came to see another player play basketball?
Yes.
Oh, I see.
And he saw Boomer.
So he was just trying to see athleticism of
this
kid.
Yeah, that was pretty common back then.
Yeah, of course.
And Boomer just, you know, kind of shut this kid down. He was, like, the top scorer in the county, and he did great. And he winds up going there. So Boomer wasn't coddled. Boomer was a blue collar, you know, you mess around with the bougie stuff, we have fun, but Boomer was an ass kicker, like an old school, you know, old school guy.
He's earned it.
Like somebody like Boomer or Neil O'Donnell, right, who also played for Parcells, you know, like somebody, not that Boomer did, but you know what I mean, like Neil comes here in 96 with that big contract, but because somebody like Neil O'Donnell wasn't coddled in college and on social media, Parcells could say, take a seat, man. Glenn Foley's playing. You stink.
That's right.
And there's no reaction. Like, okay, coach,
and by the way, it should be that way.
I agree.
Because on this level, it is a meritocracy.
Absolutely.
The best players should play.
That's
period.
Right. So they're wired differently, and as a result, coaches have had to adjust, and you get a little bit of everything these days. That's the bottom line. Julia Love coming up in just about 35, 36 minutes. On our show, we have Julian every week throughout the entire season. So start working in that Giants talk that you guys are craving. Huge. Listen, I mean, let me make a statement. You refute, you co-sign, you redirect, you do whatever you got to do, Teague. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If both the Jets and the Giants win this week, you slash we, so I guess we'll hash through it together, are fully prepared to stamp both teams' playoff teams.
Jets, yes. Giants, no.
I think at that point I would say yes to both.
Really?
I do. Only like this Commanders game is massive for the Giants.
Oh, it's huge.
Massive.
And if they win, they still have then Philly.
I know. But you got the Colts. I think you got to get to 9 wins.
Yeah.
Remember we were talking about that? I laid it all out. Philly, three teams.
But Philly, Washington.
Yep.
Minnesota, Colts.
By the way, which team has the best record over the last 7 games in the NFL? Commanders, 6-1.
6-1.
6-1.
So they're good.
I'm not saying the Giants.
They're not doing it like world beaters. Mm-hmm. Not all of a sudden they're Super Bowl champion viability, but they're winning.
Yeah, and they've got more talent than the Giants. Like, I don't know that you look at the Commanders' recent 2-month binge with 6 out of 7 wins and say, geez, how are they winning?
Mm-hmm.
But there was a little bit of that, to be fair and respectful. The Giants early, like, well, man, how are they doing this again? But, you know, McLaurin's a stud. Got a couple of good running backs, a couple of good defensive players, you know. So you're not prepared. What you just said on the record, if the Jets beat Minnesota, boom, you're pushing them in.
I believe it.
But if the Giants
I got to see the Giants get to 9. It's almost like they need to get there before I can say.
Yeah, I understand that, too.
Only because, I mean.
A little bit weak not to take a stand, if you ask me. Yeah, but I understand what you're saying.
I just don't believe it, though. Like, they look bad sometimes. They look really
bad. I don't know that I don't even want to put this out there, but I don't think they're going to win Sunday. I don't think they're going to win.
I have faith. I have faith.
I have hope that they win. I don't have a lot of faith that they're going to win.
Yeah, I just think they're getting a little bit healthier. Because that's the biggest thing. Like in Dallas, I just knew it was a matter of time before the lack of depth caught up to them, and especially against a team in and the Cowboys who get after the quarterback, and it's just hard to like we're asking a couple of people called and ask, you know, why didn't Daniel Jones run more, and he didn't is because Micah Parsons is always on the wide side, and you run the zone read, you run it to the wide side. Like he's so good, he can cover both. Like he can step down and force you to keep the ball, but then track back and tackle you if you're the quarterback. Or he can step out and then still get back inside and make the play on the running back. It's just Michael Parsons is a handful. So I didn't believe they could beat Dallas. I hoped that they could. I didn't believe that they could.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that they can beat Washington, even though they don't have the same level of talent.
I got you. It's interesting, though, because, I preface it with, if the Jets win or the Giants win, would you be prepared to stamp both teams as playoff teams? And you said yes to one, no to the other. And it's interesting because based on the sheer numbers of it, if the Giants beat the Commanders, they are just literally in a better position than the Jets are if the Jets beat Minnesota.
That's right, because the Giants are, they would now be 8 wins.
They'd be 8-4. Commanders will be 6-6.
Mm-hmm.
Giants would have a chance to sweep the season series at home. That would be on the road against the Commanders. You got to play Seattle. You lost to Seattle, but Seattle lost this weekend. And there's basically 3 teams for 2 slots mm-hmm. in the NFC, whereas with the Jets, there's 4 teams for 2 slots. Unless, listen, the Raiders win 4 straight. I guess anything can happen. But like Cincinnati, the Jets, the Patriots, who let's go. Let's go Bills Thursday. And, of course, the Chargers, who are, you know, a little sneaky and getting healthy. They didn't have their wide receivers most of the season. Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, they're 6-4. And I know they always malfunction late, it seems. Field goal, coaching over the years historically. They got some talent. So I'm not just going to discard the Chargers and say that, it's really a 3-team race, because it's not, because the Pats are there with the Chargers and, you know, a tier below the Jets and Cincy. It's still a little muddled, but I think those, the 4 and the 8, I think those are the 7 teams. I don't think anybody else emerges from, like, the obscurity of some place.
The only other team would be Detroit, and I don't trust that's happening.
There's no way, Detroit. You said that yesterday. Yeah. I can't talk about it.
I mean, they could win 5 in a row.
Yeah, they're not, though, because we're playing us, and we're going to beat them. We'll get you back.
Good.
What you guys couldn't handle, we'll finish. Let's go to Chris up in Syracuse. Hopefully Chris enjoyed that St. John's Smackdown last week of the Orange. Chris, what's going on, buddy?
Well, yeah, it's been a rough start to the year. I was at the game Saturday night losing to Bryant. And,
oh,
yeah,
wow. Yeah, I didn't see that one.
It's tough. Greensbury to start off, it's rough start to the season for sure.
Yeah, he'll find a way into the tournament and then end up in the Sweet 16.
I got to tell you,
he always does.
I know what you mean, Chris. Before you make your point, and I was thinking about this the other night. I was sitting next to Minko doing the game at Barclays Center, right, St. John's, Syracuse, and I was looking at Boeheim, who was probably, I don't know, 25 feet away from me, and I'm like, let me just get a picture. I got a picture of Coach K, not with me in it, but him doing his job, right? You know, one of the all time greats. And I remember thinking to myself, it was during a commercial break, I'm like, when he retires, why is anybody going to Syracuse? If you really, it's freezing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
it's,
no.
I mean, they don't have a lot of talent at all. They just don't.
I mean, it's been.
No, we don't.
How long has he been the coach?
I think we got to get Boeheim back to shirt tie and, you know, sport jacket.
Yeah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We got to get back to throwing his jacket, getting mad.
Got to get a more distinguished look.
The casual, it's just not the same Boeheim.
Yeah. He's too docile. Anyway, what's your point now? What's going on, bud?
Yeah, I just, listen, love the show. I'm not going to hang up when I'm done. I don't want you guys to yell
at
me.
Nice,
Chris. I'll get stay on and talk. Just everything that's been said, totally agree with. I mean, what is it going to take for them to actually, like, how bad does Mike White have to be to actually consider putting Zach back in? Because, I mean, regardless of coaching staff, like, I think you put Zach back in, you're going to completely lose, you know, the team.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest point, Chris, is the team doesn't trust that's Zach funny. Right now, and they're frustrated by him. I mean, forget the whole not taking accountability. That's like a talking thing. That's like a trying to protect your ego for Zach Wilson. Forget that. The team cares about not being good at your job and them relying on you to be good at your job and just not having the ability. That's why it gets frustrating, but it's weird. Like, you're in a weird spot because you want to like Zach Wilson, but you know he's not good enough right now. And so how do you have that conversation with him? Even though, because he's young and he's not a vet, so you can't be mad at him. It's a hard spot for the rest of the team to be in when Zach is playing.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think, keep talking about Saleh and maybe even Flacco's role in this, and of course the OC. You're a defensive player. Do you say, Zach, let's go grab some dinner?
I mean, maybe. But the question would be, what are you saying? Like, what are you, just hanging out with him? Like, tell him the importance of...
Just maybe let him know that you haven't given up on him and that you kind of speak for the room.
I could see that.
Something like that?
Yeah, like CJ Mosley doing that. But, I mean, do you see CJ Mosley and Zach Wilson hanging out?
Why not? I have no idea. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know the dynamic, right?
Yeah. But would that be like an uncommon move? I mean, for in the locker room, it would be, really.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe we got to get uncommon and we got to dig deep into the bag of tricks here.
I don't know. I mean, I try to think about some of those things that I went. I mean, I got close with some of the defensive players. Like, Strahan's my boy. Like, we got really tight over the years. But I don't remember it happening during my struggles with like fumbling and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that. It was more my coach is taking control over it.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So it's an interesting question.
Well,
because they have it, they have a potential big problem on their hands.
I know, and they know too. Oh, they know.
And we're talking about what's happening on the like as a player, but there could be a real personality problem there
mm-hmm.
that is not even part of this conversation yet. And if that persists, and like his peers don't help him figure it out, it could get ugly in that Jet locker room if he becomes the quarterback again. No. Yeah, there's a lot going on with the Jets, even though it's not, because they're winning and they're good for the first time in a long time. There's a lot still going on. It's a heavy job for Robert Saleh.
But you know what? It's going to resolve itself because Mike White's going to keep playing, and if he keeps playing well,
it's going to resolve itself if Mike White keeps playing well. But if they get pressure from whoever,
mm-hmm.
Saleh, Douglas, Woody,
yeah, Joe, I got you.
It's time to go back to Zach.
If Mike White's playing
yes,
well,
if he's not,
there's no way that's going to happen.
If he's not, if
well,
he's not.
I think at that point, I would even be like, if Mike White bombs for two games, I'm open to, you know, if Zach's doing the right things behind the scenes, yeah. It's not a terminal sentence to the inactive list.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if Mike White turns into a scrub, you bet your ass they're going back to Zach Wilson.
Do you believe that?
I don't believe he's going to turn into a scrub.
I don't either.
I think I've seen too much poise, too much polish. His mind seems to work at a very rapid rate. He processes. He leads. No, I don't see that. I don't.
Watch. That's not gonna, I'm not going to even say it. He's going to have a great game against Minnesota.
That's what I want.
Have a great game against Minnesota.
See, there's nothing about that statement that conflicts me. Like, mm-hmm. great. Mike White plays awesome. Phenomenal. That's what I hope happens. I mean, how do you hope for anything else?
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you this. If Mike White was 34... or 33, and this was like his fifth stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this transient bounce around, never stuck anywhere existence. Then I'd be like, nah, I can't get behind this. You gotta roll out the young buck. We gotta fix this. Now, I don't know what Mike White is,
mm-hmm.
and I'm gonna sit around long enough to find out because I'm intrigued.
Well, also, he's been here since 2019, his rookie season, he was in Dallas, and then 2019, he's been here.
Mm hmm.
He didn't play a ton. Mm-hmm. Kind of was just an afterthought. I think he was on the practice squad, to be honest with you. But he's been here for a while.
But think about, for a guy that, you're right, who has almost never played, how do the guys love him as much as they do?
Because he's that dude, man.
I understand. Well, that speaks to even more how important and how real this could be.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know Mike. I don't know the stories about
him.
They
love him.
That's all I hear. Is
all I hear is this is what he does. This is Mike White. This is who he is. This is Mike W.
Dude,
Mike, let's go.
Dude, when he's got an explicative adjective in front of his last name.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm with you.
My question is, where does he take them during the offseason? I mean, I heard the whole story about Zach Wilson going out.
Where'd he go, to Montana? Where'd he go, right? Somewhere out there.
That was Zach Wilson. Yeah, no. But what did Mike White do? Where'd he take the boys?
Nothing. He took them out in the city. That's probably right. He doesn't make enough money to take them.
Yeah,
He's kind of like, could you split this with me?
Mike
White's making $2.5 million.
Mike White may have been on that trip. I don't think that it precludes the backup. Now, Flacco's not going to pack up shop and leave his family for a week and go to the sticks. But
I think
Mike White might not either. But I think
you're
Mike
correct about that, by the way.
What?
That he went.
I'm pretty sure that he was. If nothing else, it's another arm.
Yeah.
Watch, Zach is going to become the camp arm. Oh, my God.
Just do it. Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
It's 11:43. It's the TK and Tierney Show. We got Julian Love coming up in right around 15 minutes. G-Men Commanders monster game this weekend. And, you know, again, they're doing his 30. You know, kind of want to watch both. But, nope. Jets and the Giants at 1 o'clock, these morons. Oh, God.
Compete for ratings.
Yeah,
it is what it is. It's frustrating.
As long as the Jets are on CBS, I don't have to be subjected to a Chicago Bears telecast, like a Vikings telecast like I was the other day.
No, I don't think it.
It's going to be on CBS. By the way, okay, the game's going on. Pay attention to the radio show. My partner is so locked in on this Senegal,
you know what?
Ecuador game.
I love
We're doing a show.
But I love these African nations, and I don't know if it's because you just don't see a lot of, you know, black soccer players. But the African nations have been great the last couple of days. Like Cameroon and...
I feel like they're always pretty competitive. I mean, you know more about soccer than me.
No, I mean regularly. Like watching EPL, watching the Bundesliga. Like, gotcha. You don't see a ton of black players. But right now we're watching Ecuador, which is obviously South American. Versus Senegal. Which is obviously African, and it's all like the whole team is black. All right, so it's kind of cool watching it. But the energy in this game is intense because they're in the 83rd minute right now, and Ecuador needs the draw to advance. They're losing by a goal, mm-hmm. and Senegal needs the win to advance. So right now, Senegal is in an advancing position, and Ecuador is desperate to score the equalizer because that puts them in an advancing position. It's just an intense game.
I understand. Wait me at 2. That's when we play.
Yes, 2 o'clock. Iran.
It's cool, man.
Iran versus U.S.
Oh, the Iron Sheik and Hogan revisited.
All right.
Jesus. It's so weirdo when you do stuff like that. I love it, though. All right. Now, I know we're bouncing around here, but I just needed to make sure you weren't transfixed on the game like you were when we came back from commercial break. All right. So now, let me ask you this. Get locked into this game Sunday. All right. So I would say right now, there's probably... I was going to say 95-5 split, but I'll be a little more generous. 90-10 split in terms of the Jets fans. We're rolling with White. Mm-hmm. About a fair approximation, do you think?
Yeah, BT, maybe more? I would say 95.
Yeah. Okay, you're right. So I was going to initially do 95-5-ish. All right. Let's go into this game. Let's say...
This is Mike White over Zach Wilson.
Yes.
Yep.
I don't expect this to happen. Let's say Mike White has a game where he goes 2 picks and a fumble. And he's relatively inefficient distributing the ball percentage-wise, and the Jets lose. What is that percentage? Where does that go on Monday?
I think it gets closer to 50-50. It's probably like 60-40, but still in Mike White's favor.
I agree.
So, some people will say, if he's going to play like that, we might as well just play
see what the kids got.
Yeah, so that'll happen. But I got to tell you, GBT, when you just go back and watch Zach Wilson, he just doesn't look like he knows what to do with the football.
No, he's running for his life.
And Mike White is not in a better situation offensive line wise, but he just handles it.
Well, he did have Mitchell back this week, but I got you.
But he handles it. He just handles it different.
Correct.
Right? He took one sack, I think he took last week.
Definitely at least one, but I think
but it's always like I'm moving around, and if it's really bad, I'm throwing it to my check down. I know exactly where my check down is. As much as I'm paying attention to the route development and the safety rotations and all that other nonsense that we talk about football jargon, he knows exactly where to get rid of the football. And it's not an incompletion. It's a check down for 4 yards, it's a check down for 8, it's a check down for 2, whatever. It's positive yardage and keeping momentum going forward, whereas it feels like Zach just starts scrambling.
He does.
And starts running. It's like, prayer.
Mm-hmm.
See if that one lands.
I feel like this is a little hyperbolic, but I don't know that it is. Like, I feel as if I could count on one hand the amount of times this year that Zach took a snap, took a normal 3-5 step drop, surveyed the field, looked calm, patted the ball, boom, delivered on time. No bailing, no ducking, no antsy feet. Well, I saw it 5 times on Mike White's first drive.
Yeah, you're right. You saw it the other day. You saw it with the Denzel Mims catch against Buffalo.
Against Buffalo.
But that was one of the few.
That's about it. All right, so I don't know if you guys caught this article in the paper the other day. Andrew Marchand had this, all right, covering the media. And the Yankees are apparently kicking the tires on Mr. Mattingly and Mr. Jeter to come and join the old Yes Network.
That'll be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, first of all, that's your boy.
Oh, yeah.
Mattingly.
St. Donnie.
He's the best.
Yep.
He is a former skipper who understands the clubhouse. He understands the interactions with management.
Mm-hmm.
And so he can speak to an Aaron Boone level... I don't know, just thought process.
Yeah,
right?
That's
one of the good things about having...
And if it doesn't work out with Boone, you can throw him in the dugout.
Well, that's going to be my question.
All right, Bob Lorenz, we'll see you. We're going to go to the dugout now.
That's going
to
be my question. That was my question.
Jack Curry.
Right? So sometimes we don't get that enough from analysts because they haven't actually been managers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's done it all.
Yeah,
not in baseball.
Hitting coach for the Yankees,
he's been
manager.
He's been everything.
Yep.
So he understands it intimately.
Yep.
Is this a stepping stone in your mind? And would you want it to be... for Don Mattingly, if they should move on from Aaron Boone at some point, to be the skip of the New York Yankees.
Okay, first of all, anything that ties Mattingly back to the Yankees is immediately connected to my heart. Mm-hmm. Okay, so my
answer is this is emotional.
Yes.
This is emotional and practical. At
and
the
I
same
know where
time.
You're going.
So you got to answer this. Like
I'm already weighing.
You got to answer it in the middle, dude.
Yeah. Well, I think that you know what I'm weighing. Do yes. I want to have to be? Because let's face it, you hired to get fired. To get fired. Although apparently the Yankees don't fire anybody anymore, so maybe you just have a job for life, I guess.
They fired Girardi. Well, they didn't really. They just didn't re-sign him. So
crazy. He actually won, too. Yeah. They got rid of him. It wasn't the people person. I think that...
yeah, whatever that means.
How I juggle, you know, would be Mattingly as a kid, to me, and what he meant, versus Mattingly... as the Yankee manager, I mean, this is just a complete hypothetical.
Mm-hmm.
I'd actually love him as the bench coach. I think they really need a sage, but I don't know if he's down for that because he's managed for a while.
You mean
now.
Someone for Boone to
yes.
like, talk to?
Yes.
Instead of
yes.
standing
I
on
would
the
love
step
that.
By himself.
That I would yeah. love. What I wouldn't love, well, I would never relish this, but I wouldn't run from it. Like, let's say Mattingly becomes the Yankees manager in 2 years, and it's really rough. You got to get on the air and say you got to fire him. Mm. Like, you know, I don't want to have to do that to my guy, but, you know, you got to do your job, and I would.
But do you think that that's the thought process?
I don't. Yeah. I don't think that it is. I don't. And I read in the article, and maybe some other stuff, too, that when he was asked about this, he didn't even really know about it. It wasn't like he was in direct negotiations. It was more, hey, maybe Donnie and Jeets. It was kind of circumstantial, right? Mm-hmm. I think John Filippelli, who runs Yes,
Flip.
Flip is the best, dude. Was at the K-Rod cast, I think this was, yeah. And
oh,
the night
right.
that Jeter was on with A-Rod.
That's right.
And I guess Flip was like, yo, you want to come do some TV? He's like, can't afford me. So, something like that, right? So I mean, it was like a cursory.
Never say that about the Yankees. It's the Yankees, though.
Yankee payroll's a little different these days.
Yeah.
Oh, Neil's contract is up. There's a lot of Beltran stinks.
But don't you think the business side of it, if Jeter is on the Yes Network, doesn't that change
Should.
So much?
Yeah. Yeah. What I really want is O'Neal to get his behind in the booth. And I'm never going to be somebody to tell somebody what to do with the vaccine. But, O'Neal needs to be in the booth. Or he needs to stop doing the job.
Mm-hmm.
You can't keep doing this. It's not fair to us.
Yeah.
It's not. Listen, if I was Kay, I would hate that. How do you do a game? And it's not like when I do a basketball game with
it's
Mick.
It's just disconnected.
Well, it's different. Like, during the pandemic, Mick and I did a few games. I did it from my office. He did it from home, right? And given the cadence of a basketball game, like when you've got the ball, you know, so-and-so into the paint, you know, three-footer off the rim, no good, so-and-so rebounder, there they go, left to right, up there, pushing for the fan. And then you know when that guy's done, and then you know when to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But baseball, it's storytelling. There's no real natural end or beginning. And I would hate it if I'm Michael Kay.
Yeah,
I would hate it.
The producer of that has
And I love O'Neal.
It's got to be really challenging for the producer.
I would think so, for sure. And even more so for the third guy in the booth, like Coney, when it's mm-hmm. Coney. So Coney's there, O'Neal's in his studio, in his basement. It's like, come on, man. It's 2022. I mean, let's get with the program here.
Yeah.
Get to the stadium or just don't do it anymore.
But I also wonder how long... You know, because O'Neal is definitely—he's not getting the vaccine. He's just not.
Yeah, I think he's dug in deep enough. I think that you're probably
and
right.
And so, at some point, doesn't it just expire that you need the vaccine?
I can't answer that.
I know that's why I'm just speculating on it. Is that kind of has to
for
be
me? It does.
Of course,
I got the vaccine. I mean, if you want to walk into a place without the vaccine, and God forbid you get sick, I mean, I'll feel for you, but I got the shot.
Yeah, that's you. That's on you.
Yeah, that's on you.
Yeah, it's become less of a. We need you to get the vaccine to protect us. It's almost like you need to get the vaccine to protect yourself.
Correct. And if you don't want to do that, I respect that it's your right, as most of us do. But then maybe you got to reconsider your broadcasting career.
Mm-hmm.
And as we tie this all together, like, I'm a big fan of just having people who played for the franchise in the booth.
Mm.
I love it.
You know, I'm yes and no on this. Mostly no, though, because sometimes it gets so homerish. Like, what are you listening to?
But you know what? I'm fine with that. Because think about this. So, all right, you want to tell... First of all, I understand fundamentally what you mean. But as a consumer and a long-time consumer of all things radio, TV, New York sports, all teams except the hockey for the mm-hmm. most part. I mean, I think I have a decent sense of who's a homer, who's not. Okay, of course Gary Cohen wants the Mets to win. Of course Michael Kay wants the Yankees to win. But I listen to the play-by-players, and maybe with the exception of Clyde, who I think is sometimes, and Wally's doing a lot of games now, and I think Wally's good. Clyde sometimes a little soft and whatever. With all due respect to the legend Clyde Frazier, I think Breen is fair. I think most of these guys are fair. Like, I don't listen to Ron Darling and Keith Hernandez and hear two guys who are homering and wearing pom-poms. Mm-hmm. If anything, they're probably chastising.
Yeah, they're giving the inside, more of the inside.
100%.
So for me,
Coney and O'Neill.
To me, it all depends on if the former star is willing to be critical. And if the former star is willing to be critical, and even though he's going to get killed by the fans,
mm-hmm.
I'm okay with it. But if it's the former star who is homerish and is more worried about his former career than the current situation that's happening on the playing field,
that's true.
Then I don't want to hear it at all.
I don't think that's a good point. That is actually pretty fair. By the way, Smack Talk on the Fan brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. And the other thing too, and this is, you know, we're at the point now where a lot of these older guys that played back in the day, when I mean back in the day, I mean 90s, as crazy as that sounds, like, you're either down with analytics or you're not. Mm-hmm. And, like, if you don't get yourself up to speed, like, if you just get on the air and denounce analytics, you got a shelf life here. That's why I think David Cone's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, David Cone is the perfect hybrid of gut. I think he'd be an awesome manager. I've always thought that. I think he'd be an awesome GM. Perfect hybrid of gut and, you know, number orientation and implementation. He's the man. But the bottom line is this. If Donnie comes back, I think I think Donnie would be very good on TV. I don't know if Derek would be that good on TV. Do you?
You know, because I see Derek in non-program light.
Oh, by the way, he's still getting Derek Jeter on the show.
Once he becomes the
how about that? Remember when he said he was getting Jeter on the show?
Once he becomes the voice of Yes Network. But I mean, I see Jeter at least once a year because
you're at the Turn 2 Foundation.
Go to the Turn 2 thing. Right? So when he in that light, he's different.
I hear you.
So if he is that guy. 100%. Let's do it.
But and listen, maybe the documentary kind of opened up an avenue for him to be that guy more regularly. I agree. When he's like that, he's interesting. When he's guarded, it's so boring and frustrating. But he's less guarded lately than he ever has
been. He's getting there.
So maybe he wants to jump in front of a tube. I don't know. All right, 'tis the season to be saucy at Buffalo Wild Wings. Give the gift of epic. Buy $25 in gift cards and get a $5 bonus now through December 31 at participating Buffalo Wild Wings locations. Bonus coupons valid from 1/1/23 through February 28th, 23 at participating locations toward the purchase of food or non-alcoholic beverages. Visit buffalowildwings.com/gift cards for additional terms. Giant fans, we got you. Julian Love up next on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.